Now, I don't know about you, but the weather at the moment, very, very hot indeed. What do you do in a garden in this particular weather? The only way to find out is to talk to Jean Griffin. Morning, Jean.
Good morning, Tony. It's really nice to hear you, and especially as the topic that you've just brought up is, I think, on everybody's mind at the moment, isn't it?
What, melting? I'm sitting here melting. It is so warm.
Absolutely.
Hot weather gardening. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, the advice seems to be, doesn't matter what it is and for whom, be it for dogs or for humans, it's stay out of the midday sun at the moment. And I'm guessing it's probably not the best time to be watering your garden either.
No, it isn't. First thing in the morning before the sun comes up, or last thing at night, same as walking the dogs, really. If you think of watering and dogs in one go, you're okay. And the other thing to remember, Tony, is that put the water where it's needed, on the floor, underneath the plants where the roots can get to it.
Yeah.
You see so many people with one of these blasted sprinklers on the end of their hose pipe. And as soon as it goes onto the plant, A, the plant gets burnt, or the water that's there is evaporated. So the water needs to be exactly down at the root base of the plant.
Mm.
That's the best thing to do it, honestly. And if you think about for next year, because I don't think we're going to get away with a very much cooler summers anymore. It doesn't seem to be.
No.
You know, climate change and all that, dare I say. But anyway, I think what you've got to do in the autumn is to actually put as much manure, compost, and I don't mean multi-purpose compost. I mean your own garden compost or a sort of bought compost. And the other thing to remember is that plants will only really sort of keep going during the summer if they have a water supply underneath. And that's helped by the amount of compost and manure that you put into the ground in the autumn, because it holds the moisture there.
So it's, in other words, feed the roots, but put in plenty of compost as well in the autumn. That's the preparation thing. Question for you, though, really, we're talking about hot weather gardening and hot weather generally, and you've mentioned the point with climate change, that our summers are going to be hotter. Are we going to be growing different things in our gardens in the future to what we are now?
I think so. I think we're able to do that. I mean, it's proved its point by us being able to grow all different types of trees, for instance. Not that we want to get rid of our, you know, native trees. That's not the point. But some of these, and the RHS, I know, are doing a little bit of sort of research on different hedging. And they're using a couple of cedars and things like that. So I think it's going to be an interesting time to see what else we can grow. I mean, we've never been able to grow jacaranda. And jacaranda, if you've ever been to Australia, New Zealand, Madeira, you name it, they are the wonderful, wonderful street trees with plumes of almost wisteria-like flowers,
mm-hmm.
bright, bright blue. But we can grow those over here now.
Wow. Going to be interesting to see a street near you with some of these plants, some of these trees on them, I think.
I don't think I'm going to be old enough. I'm not going to be alive then, am I?
You never know.
They take too long to grow, Tony.
Oh, dear. What about things that, I mean, we've still got the age-old favourites, the hydrangeas and stuff to plant, haven't we?
Absolutely. A lot of people just look at the hydrangeas and see that you know, the only ones, you know, which are the big round head ones. Have a look for something else. There is the most wonderful one called Hydrangea quirkifolia. Quirkifolia means oak-leaved.
Yeah.
And so the leaves look like oak leaves.
Oh.
And they colour up in the autumn, so you get this lovely flower which comes up, and it's a conical flower rather than a round flat head, and it's an absolutely delightful plant. The other one is another one which makes me laugh, actually. It's a paniculata, which is the big-headed ones, but it's called Pinky Winky, which it tickles me to death.
Are you sure
actually.
About that?
Absolutely, Pinky Winky.
Oh, that's been my morning, Naz.
Yeah, and that's one of those that you prune really, really hard in early spring, and that gets larger, fewer flower heads. But Pinky Winky's one that I'm very fond of is a different species, which is arborescens.
Yeah.
So it's hydrangea arborescens, but it's called Annabelle, and it has different foliage. It's soft foliage, but it's also got these big, big mop heads, which start off as like a sort of a greeny white. They then go brilliant white and then fade to a paler green. It's a delightful plant.
Yeah.
So
I'm still smiling at Pinky
I love
Winky.
it.
That makes me laugh. That does.
You
What else?
still laugh at yeah,
Yeah.
okay.
Now the ground obviously is going to be a little harder. I know, especially if you're watering from the bottom upwards, the top is going to be a lot drier than it would normally be. I mean,
Yeah.
is summer the time for planting anything else much at all?
Yes, you can. I mean, the trick, of course, is to stop evaporation from the surface of the soil, is to give what I call tickling over. And so, if you have any sort of areas which are bare, then just tickle them over with the end of a fork, so that you're breaking up that, that solid, sort of
Yeah.
layer at the top. That's the best way to do it. It also stops evaporation because the soil, if you leave it to go really hard, it you know what it does, don't you? It cracks. And then that's when all the water is lost out of it. So tickling is mine. So not only Pinky Winky, but tickling as well.
Yeah. Now, we were talking off air just a few minutes ago about lilies and the fact that my wife came in the other day with a bunch of lilies straight from the garden, and she'd
Very.
cut them and brought them in very, very happily, saying, "Look, this would save you 20 quid in the supermarket." And they're now
Exactly.
proudly sitting in our living room, sort of, well, pride of place, I think, really is the only way to describe it. They're glorious,
Fabulous.
but it's taken a little while to do it. 3 years on from when she first planted them, she's now got these wonderful, wonderful blooms. But you actually said off air that you wouldn't cut them, you'd leave them in the garden. Why?
Mainly because they last longer anyway in the garden. Mine here, which are giant lilies, by the way, and I know
Yeah.
I'm not very tall, Tony, but these are well above my height. Well above my house. Some of them are 6, nearly 7 foot high.
Wow.
And tell her to actually invest in a couple of those. They will flower after the first year. So they're really good. And then as they bulk up, you get more and more.
Yeah.
And I'm going to send your wife a photograph for her to have a look at. I love the smell. The only snag about them is that, the pollen,
Yeah.
when you get those in the house, and if you've got a cat, it's not a very good idea to have it.
No,
You
we don't
should
have cats.
cut.
We've got dogs, and yeah, the
You've got
pollen
dogs,
don't
yeah,
get
but
in
I mean,
anywhere near your clothes either.
no, exactly. But what happens with that is that the pollen on the lilies rubs off onto the cat's fur. The cat then licks it off, and is not very well afterwards, and it
Can't be
can
having that.
kill. It
Yeah.
can kill. So you do need to be wary. I just cut the stamens off if needs be,
Yeah.
if somebody gives me some. So, but again, having them up on a table or a shelf or something, it's out of the way of most cats, isn't it? And definitely
Yeah.
dogs.
No, they look good, and as I say,
Oh.
the smell around the house is just delightful, but you don't get it for very long. But as you
No.
say, they last longer in the ground. And we'll take a look at that as well. Okay, so moving swiftly on now
Okay,
to
before
something.
your wife shouts at me.
No. She's not known for doing that sort of thing, really. Let's move away slightly from gardening, but to something that is connected to gardens. It's the Lion District Cottage Gardens Society's Summer and Country Show.
It
Which
is.
I think we're attending, along with Neil Mundy's going to be there,
Yeah.
along with you, 23rd of July.
Yeah.
In Lyme, what's it all about?
Oh, it's a traditional summer gardening show. We have the usual things like make your Victoria sponge and your jam and Jerusalem type of thing, flower arranging, everything, photography, and kids can enter certain things as well. But we've also got classic cars. We've got owls. We've got animals. We've got ferrets.
Ferrets?
Ferrets, yes. And plants. And other things as well. We've got honey coming, all sorts of things, actually. So, you know, I'm hoping that this weather is going to last at least until next weekend. We don't want it to rain. I would like it a little bit cooler, but not so much rain. And guess who's opening the show?
Oh, I couldn't begin to think.
With somebody you know, actually, and Neil Mundy knows very well, and somebody from your studios.
Really?
Yeah, Mark Carter.
Oh, Mark's doing it, is he? Oh, right, okay.
Mark Carter, yeah. I emailed him last week and said, would he do us the honour of opening the show?
Oh,
and
bless
so
him.
He's going to do that. So Mark actually is the station manager, of course, for Surrey and Sussex.
He is.
BBC. A great character. And we'll see what we can persuade him to do, I think.
I've interviewed Mark a couple of times. He's a really good guy, actually. So, it could be fun. And, well, I live quite away from there, but I might see if I can get there at some point during the day.
Oh, please. We would love to see you, Tony.
I'd love to get there. We will see on that one. But it's the Lyon District Country Garden Society's Summer and Country Fair, or Country Show, should I say. Whereabouts in Lyon is it?
It's it'll be well signposted, but it's in the cricket ground, and we would actually encourage anybody to enter. And if you look at our website, which is Lye Cottage Garden Society without the district, the schedule is on there. So,
okay.
Tony, your wife could enter some of her lilies.
They may not last that long, I'm afraid. But she's cut them now, I'm afraid. But, we'll see what we can do with that one. That's a good one. 23rd of July starts what time?
Public in from noon.
Okay.
And exhibitors can come in from 7:45 in the morning onwards.
Okay.
So, you know, please come along. We could always do with help in the tea tent as well.
And I'll give you help in the tea tent. I'll come and sort of just consume the stuff. Is that all right? Okay.
Absolutely.
One final thing to do with gardening, because it's a strange old time, July in the garden. You start cutting things back, don't you?
This
time of year as well.
Particularly perennials, like, you know, the hardy geraniums, for instance. You cut those right back to the ground. Don't worry about them. You can cut them right back to the ground, and that encourages fresh new growth and more flowers. So there's one particular one which is absolutely fabulous, brilliant, brilliant blue, called Roseanne. And if you cut that right back now, after it's flowered, it'll come back and flower again for you later in the summer. And the other thing to think about is deadheading your roses, of course, and that then they will carry on blooming.
Quite a few bits in there to look at. It's an interesting time, because, as I say, you don't normally associate sort of July really too much with doing an awful lot in the garden, but there is actually quite a bit to do, isn't there?
Oh, masses to do, loads of things. And sweet peas, again, if you take the seed pods off, they will go on flowering. That's my next job, actually.
Yeah.
I've got to brave the sun and go out and just chop off the seed pods on my lovely sweet peas. Because I only grow heritage ones, so they need to be cut back. So that's me for today.
Almost. I've got one other thing for you.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned a little earlier on about your water source for watering your garden. And, of course, there's all the talk about trying to conserve water during these very hot times. Watering your garden from a tap seems to be frowned upon. So how do you collect yours?
I have water butts, which come off my garage roof and off the conservatory roof. So I've got two very large ones close together, and they're interconnected. So when the nearest one fills up, it overflows into the next one. I mean, I wish I had room for another one, but I haven't. That's another thing. Just leaving your bowls out anywhere, just if we ever get any rain, any form of, container will actually collect your water for you. But the other thing to remember, of course, is please, at the moment, put some water out for those birds. Yeah. Because they do need it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're a little wiser on all that stuff now. So, yeah, I think preparing perhaps for autumn and getting those water butts sorted out so that next year we're in the right place for actually doing the right thing and sort of conserving a little bit of the water that comes from the water companies.
Absolutely.
Jean, it's been good to catch up today.
Definitely.
And
I hope to see you a week on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do with that one. All right, for now, Jean Griffin,
okay,
thank you.
Come and find me. I shall be floating around.
Oh, I will do. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Cheerio. Bye, Tony.